In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified." Indeed, as the Passover lamb, to whom John the Baptist points, but for whom? For whom? Oh, surely not for the chief priests and scribes, the elders of the people, and surely not for Caiaphas the high priest. Good grief. These very outwardly moral, upstanding religious and spiritual types are doing what? They are working behind the scenes. Did you hear what they were up to? It's super secretive. Back room of the high priest's palace meetings. No doubt they were begun and ended with devout prayers. Short readings, no doubt, were included from God's word. They were probably started with intense devotions. But why were they doing this? For what purpose? Here's why. They're deviously plotting to have the preacher Jesus arrested so that they can get rid of him for once and for all, literally. They scheme to put an innocent man to death and make it all look legal, legit, and lawful. What treachery this is. What sin. Surely Jesus will exclude them and their sinning from his Good Friday Lamb of God dying. Right? And then there's Judas Iscariot. One of his own 12. He too has been meeting secretly and behind Jesus' back with the chief priests and the temple police. Why? Here's why. He's switched sides. He's working for the devil now. Iscariot's heart belongs to the enemy. He has become Satan's tool, Satan's instrument of darkness to demonically attack, assault, and destroy his master, Jesus. Iscariot has agreed to horrifically betray Jesus for some quick cash. I mean, what villainy. What sin. Surely Jesus will not waste any of his Good Friday Lamb of God crucifixion on such a wretched, traitorous sinner like him, right? And if that's not enough, all of the disciples, as we heard earlier, are bickering and fighting. I mean, it never stops with these men. Same old, same old. Johnny One Notes they are, each doing his best Muhammad Ali impersonation about who is the greatest. They belittle, they denigrate, and they damage each other in order to be the top dog in that little pack of 12. What a bunch of self-absorbed, selfish, and self-destructive morons. If we didn't know any better, we'd swear that they live in Washington, D.C. Clearly, Jesus will not squander any of his Good Friday crucifixion on such loser deadbeats as these, will he? And what about you? Do you believe that you're any better than all of the above sinners and their sinning? You're not. You are just as big a sinner as Caiaphas and his minions, Iscariot and the disciples, because their story is your story. Their plotting, their playing for the other team, betrayal and bickering are yours as well. As you heard the Passion story tonight, you were part of the story. Just insert your name for Caiaphas, Iscariot, or any of the disciples. You too are a plotter, eliminator, and betrayer of the Christ. So curved in on yourselves you are. God only knows what other shameful sins come from your heart. And so Jesus has every right to exclude you and all of your sin from his death on the cross. Right? That would be the rational and normal thing for Jesus to do, right? Really, there's no need to waste a Good Friday on such sin and sinners. Because the sin against Jesus is so outrageous and gargantuan. You know, it would be best for Jesus, at the very least, to reprimand us all, give you the what for, and then rain down sulfuric fire and brimstone from heaven to incinerate all of us sinners. You know, Jesus shouldn't take all this abuse and rejection sitting down, should he? I mean, isn't it time for Jesus to just flat out punish and reject those who blatantly give him so much hurt and so much harm? And what does he do? Here's what he does. He gets up, he rolls up his sleeves, and he flexes his muscles to fill up a bowl full of water. And then he stoops down to do the menial and mundane slavish task of washing and drying his sinners' feet. I mean, that's so wrong. I mean, that's so out of place. He serves? Yeah. He serves. He is among his sinners as one who serves, as the servant, the suffering servant, to give his divine life as a ransom for many, for the ungodly, to give them pardon. Now, did you hear earlier? Peter objected to all of that. Remember that? And so do you and I. Our Lord's self-abasing, sacrificial servitude scandalizes us, doesn't it? Lord, what in the world are you doing? Get a grip, man. Do you wash my feet? Oh, you'll never wash my feet. We should wash your feet. Yeah, we and Peter, we would dare to exclude ourselves from our Lord's divine service for his sinners, wouldn't we? And so Jesus tells us all, oh, Peter, and you, poor Peter and you, you don't want my help? Oh, soon you'll understand. Soon you will understand what this is all about. After you failed me and denied me, you'll learn how completely dependent you are on my Lamb of God's servant ministry for you. And so, like Peter, we all must learn to be totally dependent on Jesus and his service to us. And so Peter said in the text, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Now that's more like it. That's the way faith talks. After all, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's Good Friday. Remarkably, he doesn't leave you or any of your sin out of his Lamb of God atoning sacrifice from his blood-stained cross. He has redeemed you and me, lost and condemned persons, and he's purchased and won us all from all of our sins in his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He's died for the whole lot of all of us. And now tonight, brothers and sisters, I beg you to learn more, like Peter, of your need for this Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world and yours as well. He is still among you as one who serves. That's precisely his cup of tea. And so I beg you to come to church every Sunday to receive his sacrament by which he audaciously names you as the very sinner, the plotter, the betrayer, the bickerer for whom he died. Don't pull a Peter and say, oh, you can't give me, an unworthy, unclean sinner, your most holy body and blood. Don't talk like that. Brothers and sisters, do not exclude yourselves and your sin from the sacrament because you are sinners. Only the sick need a what? Only the sick need a physician. And so only sinners need a Savior. And therefore Jesus tells you to eat the bread He tells you to drink the wine, because with the bread and with the wine, he gives you his Good Friday body and his Good Friday blood. That's right. The very body and blood offered on the cross as the sacrifice that atoned for all your sin. What service that is. I mean, that's divine service. He humbly gives you his sacrificial body. He unassumingly gives you his shed on the cross from his body blood for you. He says so with the I am God for you promise for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins. His promise means that you that you need him. You need his Lamb of God forgiveness more than ever. And so incredibly, he's here Sunday after Sunday as your servant, and he refuses to exclude you. He is that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, suffering servant for you, washes, cleanses, and purifies you, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. He dares to make such a promise because he is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, yours included. In the name of Jesus, amen.